Siren Radio.
Marvellous. And the weather today in Lincoln, highs of 14 degrees centigrade, lows of 4 degrees centigrade, and it's going to be a day of sunny intervals with light breezes. So all good as far as that's concerned then.
Putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I?
radio over the years has obviously prided itself on being a radio station for young people in Lincolnshire and continues to follow through with respect to that. It's therefore very concerning to find that the UK Stress Survey has found that 6 out of 10 young people aged 18 to 24 have felt so stressed by pressure to succeed that they felt unable to cope. This survey commissioned by the Mental Health Foundation also found that half of young people had experienced high levels of stress in relation to body image and worries about their appearance. Now, clearly this cannot be allowed to continue long into the 21st century, and to talk about some of these issues, we're very pleased to welcome today Isabella Goldie, Director of Development and Delivery at the Mental Health Foundation. Good morning, Isabella.
Good morning.
And also writer, social media influencer and mental health advocate Roxy Nafusi. Good morning, Roxy.
Good morning.
Excellent. Now, Roxy, can we come to you first to talk about your own challenges that you faced with respect to this? Because there was a little line in the 20th century about, oh, stiff upper lip, it'll see us through, and so on and so forth. But clearly there are an awful lot of folk who are kind of having a lot of challenges just actually getting on with the business of life.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredibly hard time to be, you know, in your 20s, I think. There is constant pressure now to not only be ourselves in real life, but online as well, and manage this sort of online persona with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and then trying to become successful people with a great future ahead of us. And, you know, so there's a lot for us to think about all the time. And, you know, I've definitely felt the pressure, and it was, for me, it was talking about it and coming out that really helped. And it's amazing that what the work the Mental Health Foundation are doing to allow us to get rid of that stiff upper lip, I guess, and you know, be more open.
I've certainly noticed wearing my academic hat that not just within the University of Lincoln, but also other universities as well, we're seeing an increase in terms of stress-related conditions and anxiety and so on. So personally, I wasn't hugely surprised by some of the results, but if we can turn to Isabella for the moment, were you surprised by the results of the stress survey yourself?
Well, like you, not completely, because that was part of the reason we undertook the survey, is we were really beginning to feel that something was significantly wrong, and we're concerned about that. And as an organisation, we're really interested in what actually works to prevent mental health problems. So by looking at stress, we've been considering really the precursor to mental health problems and trying to get to the root of that. I think what is alarming is the level of figures. So 83% of young people having felt that they've been overwhelmed or unable to cope in a year, in a given year. I think the 39% figures around suicide, suicidal thoughts and feelings that people have actually considered suicide as a because of stress, has got to be a concern to all of us. Mm. And we've known for some time that self-harm's on the rise, but statistically, been working with the figures of around 1 in 10, maybe 1 in 8. And of course, we're finding in this survey that 1 in 3 people are telling us, young people are telling us, that they have self-harmed as a result of stress. So that is very worrying.
There are doubtless a number of people who are listening to this who will have literally the whole spectrum of opinions on this viewpoint, from the point of view of a problem shared is a problem halved, it's good to talk, right the way through to Voca talk about Generation Snowflake and other kind of ridiculous labels from that point of view. Is there something that can be said, Isabella, in terms of technology can play a part in this? Because again, that's one of the aspects where, because there seems to be such a pressure on performing to the highest standards all the time, whether it's for reality TV shows or onwards, that also kind of impacts on people's day-to-day life. That's fear of missing out and fear just generally.
And that did come through in a survey, that young people had felt that they really had to respond if somebody was on social media and were looking for a response from them. There was an expectation that they would have to respond immediately, and that was more so for younger people than for older people. And I think the social comparison issue, I mean, it was 1 in 2 younger people feel that they're stressed by comparing themselves to others, whereas that figure's 1 in 10 for people over 55. So again, maybe that changes with age, that we don't know. This is a one-off survey, but I think the figures are so dramatically different, we'd have to think there is something particular happening around body image, around social acceptance and concerns about social acceptance for this generation.
Roxy, wearing your hat as a social media influencer, is that something where, from your own level of responsibility, you kind of have to take extra special care to make sure that what is being posted is responsible and appropriate and doesn't actually encourage people to instantly respond or feel pressurised into all sorts of other areas?
Yeah, I really believe that. Anyone with any kind of social media presence really does have a responsibility to let young people know that what you see online is not always exactly how it is. It's not always reality. There's no need for us to compare to it and to respond in such a way, because otherwise, it's a never-ending comparison cycle, and the feelings of not being good enough. You only have to scroll down for 10 seconds to see something that may give you possibly make you feel insecure or less than. So I definitely think it's important for me to speak out, and I really encourage other people with social media presence to be more honest and soften social media a bit to make it a bit more of a friendly pace and a nicer environment for us to all spend time in.
I'm frequently saddened by the amount of vitriol that sometimes gets poured out in comment sections to very innocuous news stories and various other factors. Isabella, is that something where kind of we need to, as a society, begin to address the notion that actually having respect for other people, treating other people as we'd wish to be treated ourselves, having that translated into a cyberspace environment, that is so essential in terms of getting progress here?
Absolutely. I mean, you'll have seen the campaign earlier this month about trolling, the young women who'd been trolled and social media, and the damage is quite significant when that goes badly wrong. And I guess it's in some ways an unchecked environment. Well, not as checked as it should be. And people are anonymous, so it's a real concern. I think what we're finding in this survey of ours is, and in other work that we've done with young people, is that relationships and social acceptance is really key. And at that point in your life when you're trying to form your identity, work out who you are, belonging matters so much. So relationships are really key. But also quite fragile. And I guess what we also found in the survey is that one of the ways that young people cope with stress is to talk to others, to talk to friends and family. So whether that be online or whether that's face-to-face, I think, that's something that they value, and it really needs to be that they get a compassionate and respectful response when they do seek support. So yes, we need to do something right across society, and that needs to be instilled in young people from a very early age.
Roxy, from your own perspective, does the key lie in better and a more fulsome communication? Is that really at the heart of what we're talking about today?
I think so. I really believe that the more open and vulnerable we are, the more we can connect with each other. Ultimately, we're all seeking to feel happy, loved, and we can all unite in those desires and passions. And once we lose the egos and being behind a screen and allowing like nastiness, if we can all just be open and vulnerable, we're going to find such deeper connections with each other, and hopefully all be kinder to each other.
Stress, Are We Coping? Is the name of the report published by the Mental Health Foundation. Isabella, where can people go to find out more about the report, more information, or indeed more advice on what we've been really just beginning to address in a sort of tip of the iceberg way today?
So our website, www.mentalhealth.org, will give you people access to the full report. And within the report, we've looked at what government can do, what schools can do, but also some tips for people themselves. Also, if people are able to show their support, be absolutely wonderful if they're able to wear a green ribbon for mental health awareness. I think the more that we're all wearing that green ribbon and getting the word out there that it's okay to talk about your mental health, the better.
And Roxy, from your own perspective, where's the best place to actually find out more about your social media work yourself?
I'm on Instagram and it's Roxy Nafusi, and I'd love to hear from you guys and hear how you guys cope with stress and body image and stuff, so that we can start a conversation about it.
Roxy Nafusi and Isabella Goldie, many thanks indeed. We'll speak again soon. Take care now.
Thank you.
Clearly what you really need to do to cope with stress is just gently tap a coffee cup and add it videoed for YouTube, and it's extraordinary. Isn't that right, Stephanie Romyshevsky?
Maybe.
And I'm referring to a YouTube video which you kindly sent the link to, the start of a double YouTube video in which you're doing a session both just before you actually head off to BBC Radio 5 Live's Victoria Derbyshire show, and more, I think, there. In the green room, which, as is the case with most things, isn't really green, but actually has sort of greenish chairs there.
It's yeah.
An odd thing. Anyway, welcome, Stephanie. How is life in Exeter?
Yeah, very good. Very sunny today. Very Excellent. Happy about that.
Well, as I say, I think for some reason my voice has decided to actually sort of just go in pitches and phases and all sorts of other areas. So we've got three fabulous folk in the studio. First of all, Dr. Christopher Dowse. Chris, have you, because you share with us and share with Stephanie. I mean, this is the lady who kind of can probably solve anything. I mean, sleep related, certainly.
Oh God, don't
but
say
I think you know, I'm ramping it up, Stephanie, because I think, you know, we've worked together over the weeks now. I think it's just phenomenal. Chris, you had an incident this morning which basically meant you woke up unexpectedly.
Yeah, but I've actually got an answer to that. It's your fault, because I was so terrified and so wound up and so excited about coming on your wonderful show again that I just kept waking up every hour in a cold sweat, but then falling asleep again with a gentle smile on my face, thinking, oh, it's all going to be all right because you're such a professional and you stitch all this together like some extraordinary Victor von Frankenstein. It's all good, Alex, really. So actually, Stephanie, I've got nothing to report. I just woke up at 4:35 this morning because I forgot to close my blinds. Simple as that. So I closed them and then I fell asleep again. That's healthy, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, well, light definitely has an effect on us, and I often talk about it as a good thing during the day, because I think we're too obsessed with trying to create these amazing environments before we go to bed, which is really important. But I think the more quality quality wake time we have during the day, so lots of light exposure in the first sort of three quarters of the day, is actually probably more beneficial, just so that you have that nice sleep drive before you go to bed, and then you're more likely to go to sleep with a good quality no matter what's going on around you.
Jesse, from the student's perspective, because you've said you sometimes get anxious, you get a bit concerned, etc. So really, the last feature in this one is perfectly made from your own perspective. Have you got any thoughts or questions you'd like to put to Stephanie about, you know, general sleep patterns, etc.? Or do you just, once you sort of, it's an evening, that's it, you're out like a light?
I find it quite hard to get to sleep, actually, especially when I'm at uni. So I usually end up trying to get to sleep at about midnight and then not being able to get to sleep until about 4 a.m, like I did last night as well. But okay. My boyfriend actually has insomnia, and he often doesn't get to sleep until about 8 a.m, and he can be up at all night, most nights, actually. So have you got any tips for kind of handling insomnia and kind of dealing with it?
So insomnia is never going to be something that you can fix in one night. So there'll be short-term solutions, the things that you can try to do to help on the night, which is usually involved with sort of reducing anxiety and relaxing, making sure you are actually sleepy before you go to bed. But what time are you waking up in the morning? Is it the same time every day, or is it very different depending on what you guys have on?
My boyfriend usually wakes up whenever I wake him up, because otherwise he'd just sleep all day. But I usually wake up at about 10 every single day.
Yeah. So just what you said there about your boyfriend sleeping all day, or at least trying to catch up when he can, that doesn't sound like an insomniac. It sounds like the timing of his sleep is completely out. So, you know, if you are able to sleep at some point, then it's kind of proof that the sleep is there, your drive is there, but we've got to try and shift it back to when you want to sleep, which is probably more of like a, you know, sleeping at night, being awake during the day. So to do that, you need to do certain things over a period of time, like trying to keep a very regular wake time, but try and make it slightly earlier. So think about your earliest responsibility and try and stick to that sort of 7 days a week for about 4 weeks. And then try and only go to bed when you're really sleepy tired. And for the first few nights, it might be that you're only getting a couple of hours each night. But what will happen is it will accumulate. If you're not napping during the day and you're not allowing yourself to go to bed at any other time and you're waking up at the same time every day, you're going to accumulate your sleep drive, a sleepiness, which we need. But we're so terrified of it because the media keeps telling us that sleep deprivation is really bad for us, that we want to get rid of it straight away. If we haven't slept all night, we think, oh my gosh, I must sleep in, I must have a few hours to make sure I can catch up. But the problem is that if you do that, your brain thinks, oh, there's nothing wrong. This is a new routine that she or he clearly wants to do. So I'm going to reinforce it. I'm going to allow this to happen. I'm going to make sure this happens. We'll habituate to it. So often it's our behaviour that seems to be perpetuating the problem, even if the trigger was something else, even if you were stressed and that was the trigger. Often it's our behaviour that alters our sleep.
Oh, right, OK, that makes a lot of sense, actually, because he's always said it's insomnia, but he doesn't actually have a set routine for when he goes to bed.
Yeah, that is so... We are like children, basically. So think of how you would help a baby go to sleep, you know, what you would do for a baby to help it eat, sleep, everything else that a baby needs. We are exactly the same, and we need to treat ourselves like that. We need, a good sleep opportunity. I'm not saying that you have to sleep in the 8 hours you give yourself for rest each night, but I'm saying that that opportunity needs to be the same. So if your body wants to do it, it can. And we need to stop worrying about if we don't get it. If we don't get it, but we only give ourselves that exactly the same 8 hours each night, then you will accumulate a bit of a sleep debt, which is good because that's your body's way of resetting. But instead of sort of accumulating that, we will change our behaviour as soon as we're worried that our sleep's gone wrong, and that's when we perpetuate the sleep problem.
Right, okay, thank you.
And the bonus, of course, is that clearly, if you get that sorted out, you can get more Midweek Drive Morning Editions live in the studio, you see.
Exactly.
Win-win situation. Yeah. It's great. Christian, thoughts from yourself? From Wakefield, any challenges with sleep or any sort of areas since coming to university where you thought, oh, I don't know, I can't sleep, etc.?
Well, I mean, I've always sort of had a problem with sleep and getting to sleep or waking up, but... for instance, I never wake up to an alarm. I have about 7 or 8 alarms, maybe 9 set on a morning. But I've realised I just leave my curtains or my blinds up or something like that, and the light always seems to wake me up. But in terms of going to sleep, I get 4 or 5 hours or something like that. How would you say, would it be best to try and get yourself to sleep? Because I've been told, do a bit of exercise or... try and eat something before you go to sleep, or just sort of try and make yourself as tired through the day as possible? How would you say would be the best way?
So it is again about being regular. So for the first few nights, whatever you do isn't going to work, but if you're consistent with whatever you try, you will end up being able to sleep. The problem is that all those things that you just mentioned, none of those, there's no evidence that they can make you fall asleep. The only thing that's going to help you sleep is actually being sleepy enough to sleep, and the only way that you can get that is having good quality wake time. Yet all of us are obsessed with this idea that we need to go to sleep at a certain time, so we're already dictating stuff to our bodies which our bodies just don't understand. And so we spend that time, all we're doing in our head is thinking, I've got to try and find a way to get sleep. Every single behaviour I'm doing right now is to help me get to sleep. And that means you're putting a lot of pressure on your body. Whereas if you were to try and let go, this is obviously harder to do than it is to say, if you were to sort of let go and think, do you know what, I've got my opportunity, it's the same each night, I'm never going to change it, I'm not going to sleep in, I'm going to try and rigidly get up at the same time every day, I'm not going to nap. I'm not going to have alcohol or caffeine too close to bedtime, and I'm just going to enjoy myself. I'm just going to do things that I enjoy before I go to bed. And it's not to get to sleep, it's just so that if I'm going to be awake, I might as well enjoy myself, have a good quality wake time. And that is more likely to help you drift off at night than actually sort of exploring all these things that people say we should do in order to sleep, because that just builds up anxiety, it builds up stress.
So for instance, if you just have a busy day, 9 or 5 or whatever, and then through the evening you sort of try and relax, and a couple of hours before you go to bed just simply read or watch something and then turn off all the lights and just lay there, kind of thing.
I mean, you said it there, a couple of hours before you go to bed, get ready for bed. Don't ever get ready for bed just before bed, because what you're doing is you're telling yourself that you're going up to bed, but you're actually doing a wind-up activity. So brushing your teeth, putting pyjamas on, it often triggers all these thoughts. Oh, gosh, I haven't done this for tomorrow. I haven't done that. I haven't prepped this, blah, blah, blah. If you give yourself an opportunity a couple of hours before you think that you're going to start resting, so you don't have to dictate your bedtime. It's more that it's there if you need it. if a couple of hours before you give your brain the idea, you know, actually now we're going to get ready, then you can have all those thoughts that will pop into your head that usually come into your head just before you go to bed or just when you get into the bed. So you're almost giving your body an opportunity to worry, like a set time each day, and that time is nowhere near your bedtime. Once you've done all that, maybe you've written a list of things you need to do, maybe you've been reflecting on the day, maybe you've just got ready for bed, prepped your lunch for tomorrow, made sure that essay's sorted, whatever, then for the next couple of hours, I would enjoy yourself. You know, watch something that you really wanted to watch, like you've saved it up, or a book that you really wanted to read, or maybe you're going to have a chat with somebody. You know, I know that we talk a lot in the media about what you should and shouldn't do before you go to bed. But the problem is if you are already stressed and anxious about the fact that you're not sleeping, then taking away the things that you love the most is only going to make it worse. So you've got to resolve this anxiety first. This worry is the perception of you worrying about your sleep, your perception of your sleep is more dangerous for you, or it's more effective than actually not sleeping. Actually not sleeping isn't you probably aren't chronically sleep deprived. You know, there's not many people are, but we're so terrified of what a little bit of not sleeping will do. It's actually that perception that causes us more problems.
Well, I'm glad you've come on, because I have an exam tomorrow as well, so I'm hoping I can get the best sleep I can tonight. So
yeah, and that's more important than cramming. So sleeping before an exam is really helpful. So I would, you know, stop sort of early evening if you're revising, you know, get ready and then enjoy yourself. Just relax and enjoy yourself and just think to yourself, if I can't get to sleep at the normal time tonight because I'm worried about my exam tomorrow, there's no point me sitting and lying in a dark room stressing about this. I'm just going to enjoy myself. I'm going to be resting, which is good for my brain anyway. I'm distracting myself by doing something I enjoy. And eventually, I'm going to get a few hours. And if those few hours are a lot less than usual, that's okay, because I know the quality will be better because I haven't just sat in the dark for 8 hours willing myself to go to sleep.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Cheers.
That's all right.
Well, you see, sleeping during the exam, not really advisable. It has happened, but you never know. Stephanie, let's talk a little bit for the remaining few moments we've got here about the two YouTube videos that you've been putting together. Working, of course, with a stress and anxiety soul now. We're looking to target 500,000 hits for this, and we're well on the way to that. So let's go with it. Talk to us about why you put it up there, how the sort of project's working, because clearly Sleepyhead is international. It's going international and is accessible from everywhere, from Beijing through to Peru through to LA and so on.
So the reason we put them up is because there is this phenomena on YouTube at the moment called ASMR, which some of your viewers may have heard of. Essentially, that is relaxation videos, but we don't know what relaxes people. All sorts of different things relax people, so there's lots of ASMR artists or YouTube artists making videos just to help relax people, and I think it's helping reduce their anxiety. I think it's helping people feel safe, and it's making them just feel a little bit less alone just before they fall asleep. And I sort of just happened to come across these things, and I saw how many people were viewing these videos. So what me and Whispers Red ASMR, who's the YouTube artist that I work with, we made a video that we don't think has ever been done before. So what we did is we wanted to short-term make you feel better. So we wanted to make a relaxing video. But what we wanted to do is have me in the video actually giving you long-term educational sleep advice. So not only are you being relaxed in the short term, so that might help you feel better short term, but in the long term, if you follow the advice in the videos, then you're more likely to sleep better in the future. So we were kind of tackling insomnia from two different aspects, and so far the comments seem to be really good, so we'll see.
Absolutely outstanding. The only thing I would say, I found the receptionist quite scary, but just a thought.
Not
for
everyone. No, that's my actual receptionist.
Well, bless her. Maybe she was overacting. Maybe she just didn't quite get into the role. I just thought, it was the smile, the kind of, and I just thought, welcome, come in. Just need a few details. Still, never mind. great stuff. Stephanie, as ever, a delight. Let's talk a bit more about sleepyheadsclinic.co.uk. That is the go-to website, obviously, for details from that point of view. Have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
So I take it you're back for the usual appointment and slot and various other bits and pieces in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yay!
Can you put your hands in your head? Oh no, I said dream. Can you put your hands in your head? Oh no! I said, fuck! What a day, a year, a life it is. You know, well you know, you had it coming to you. Now there's not a lot I can do.
We'll find out more about that in Stephanie's next approach. Obviously, it's 8:34, actually approaching 8:35, so splendid time that just zooms through. If you're wondering about Richard Fitzwilliams, well, actually, his piece is already online. You can download his thoughts on the upcoming royal wedding and more by actually going to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com and find out all manner of wonderful things from that point of view. You're listening to Siren Radio, though, and it's time to say Ian Lennox, welcome, sir. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Good. You actually have the honour of being the furthest north of all of the contributors on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today, because you're up in that fine place called Tyneside.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Exactly. Now, we have Dr. Chris Dowse with us who... I mean, are you a Grimsby lad, Chris? I mean, is that really where you'd call home, or...?
Yeah. I mean, technically, I was born up Steep Hill in Lincoln, right at the top.
Oh, right.
And
so you come home.
Actually, well, when I came for the interview, and it said the current slogan for the university is wherever you're from, you're home.
Yeah.
I had to chuckle at that on the way to my my interview.
How true but those words are.
Absolutely. But yes, I for better or worse, I do classify myself as a Grimsby lad. So.
And you'll be pleased to know, Ian, that Chris, as well as writing regularly for the monthly Star Trek magazine, which he does the Science of Star Trek, I think it's fair to say. Something which actually Lawrence Krauss was my original sort of mentor in terms of that. But Lawrence will be proud that the work has come to Andy. Also, Andrew Baramis, I think, also is involved with the whole thing. Yes, yeah. So great stuff there. And he's also a very keen writer for Warhammer games and multi-role playing things.
Yes. Oh, it's a big thing, isn't it? coming up, that's huge.
Huge, Ian. But before we actually move into that, we also need to introduce you to a young lady who's making her first ever appearance on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. She's already become an established part of the Midweek Drive Wednesday slot. And hopefully once we get the sleep thing sorted out, we're going to do the Morning Edition as well. That's Jess Williams. Jess is from Hull.
Oh, hello, Jess.
Hiya, you all right?
I guess I like.
it's like bonding across the East Coast.
Regionalism gone mad,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. It's amazing. But curiously, she's not a Hull City fan, Ian. She is an Arsenal supporter.
How does that happen?
Boyfriend, innit?
Oh, right. Well, why don't you make him a Hull City fan?
Exactly.
Because I'm not that invested in football. What's happening? Oh, so we God knows what I'm
I don't make him a Hull City fan, then there'll be two of them.
It's harsh stuff. And also making his debut on the production today, Christian Karbowitz, who is from Wakefield and supports Leeds.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Hi. Is that rugby league or football?
More football, to be honest.
Aye.
Follow a bit of rugby, well, rugby union if the Six Nations.
How did you come to get involved with Leeds then?
Well, it's just the... Well, Wakefield doesn't have a team. I mean, to my knowledge, anyway, unless they're playing in National League or whatever it is. But it's more just Leeds. It's what everyone really supports around there. But I found myself become more of a Liverpool fan recently with the people that I live with.
They've gone through a really hard time. I thought we were mismanaged, but my...
No.
It's a tale of tragedy, that was.
Yeah, that's what I think. Every time when I'm watching them, they just slip down the league.
I've never seen a club slump like... I mean, they're one of the best teams in Europe. To suddenly just, I mean, everything went wrong.
Yeah, well, yeah, barely surviving mid-table, I think, at the moment, aren't they? So
yeah. Do you ever feel tempted, Christian, to, you know, in a seminar, for instance, break into a rendition of We'll All Stand Together? You know, I could see it add a certain colour to the whole sort of thing. Just
I think we'll all sit together now.
Way for the mighty leads. Who knows what could actually happen from that? Really. Cause, of course, do you remember the David O'Leary era? Or is that just no? Could it be,
not to my knowledge. No.
So actually, you've not experienced any glory with Leeds whatsoever.
No, never. I mean, it's been championship team for as long as I can remember, really. So.
Oh, yeah. This is the state that, Ian, that obviously the young supporters of Leeds actually are. They've never known anything other than championship football.
Yeah. Well, and below that. Mm.
Billy Bremner means nothing to them.
Oh, really?
It's a statue.
I saw that lot. Johnny.
Have you seen the Billy Bremner statue?
I've seen it, yeah. It's from, Brian Clough era as well, isn't it? So the
44 days.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You've seen the film, have you? The Brian Clough film?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, with... I forget his name, was it Sheen or something like that?
Michael
Sheen, indeed.
He made a career, well, very good career out of playing famous people, didn't he?
He
played in Tony Blair as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did David Frost, I think, as well.
That's right, yes, that's the other one, yes. Excellent.
Frost, Nixon, it's amazing sort of stuff. Good news, you'll be pleased to know, Ian, that our first Jess, as we like to say, because, I mean, I won't refer to, obviously, Jess Williams as second Jess, because that'd be ridiculous.
Well,
equally
first Jess.
Exactly,
equal first
Jess. But our first Jess, who graduated a couple of years ago, she's now living in the Isle of Man, is back on the show next Wednesday. So Jessica Ward is still functioning in the Isle of Man. She's graduated successfully, and she will be joining us on Wednesday's programme.
Oh, good.
But you'd be pleased. Okay, so moving on from that. Any thoughts that you'd like to share, Chris, with Ian about your Warphammer and Coventry City event that you were at recently? Because I think this could serve as the basis for Ian's next book.
Well, there was a...
Pay attention, Ian, or play the podcast back.
Pay attention, I can't hear you talking, though.
Well, I'm glad someone's brought that up, thank you,
that's
Ian.
Put him in his place, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah, I'll invite three people in and then hog their airtime, yeah.
Just because he's the only one getting paid for this.
Sorry, what?
Absolutely.
What was that?
Old charity cases. I was at a... there's a two-day big Warhammer gaming event in the Ryko Arena at Coventry, which is home to the Wasps, but it was also...
Is that the Wasps Rugby Club?
Yeah, Wasps Rugby Club, yeah.
Oh, right, I didn't know that.
Beautiful stadium. The hotel I was staying in was built into it, and what I didn't realise turning up at 7:15 was it was a 7:30 kickoff for Derby for Notts County versus Coventry City playoffs. So getting parked was really, really funny in the pouring rain. But the best bit was watching football fans eyeing Warhammer fans with suspicion and bewilderment.
Yes, I wonder whether they're the enemy or not.
Absolutely. Are they Notts County? No. They're all wearing T-shirts with skulls on. What's that all about? But it was just there was absolutely no common ground whatsoever. There was no way that the
two aliens were landed.
Exactly. But that was the view from both sides of each side, you know.
Yes.
What's going on here? Well, yeah, that was quite amusing.
But, you had weapons, probably, though.
Oh, there was all sorts of chain axes and bolt pistols and things, and that was the Notts County fans who then went on the rampage with a late equaliser from Coventry with a disputed penalty and smashed a few staff cars up, unfortunately, on their way out.
Oh dear!
So that was not so good. The ugly side of football.
You see, if only they had Mike Ashley to show them the way, then clearly they'd be very happy. They'd be well behaved and well sorted, as all Newcastle United fans are. Clearly,
I'm not taking the bait. I'm not taking the bait.
You should give thanks to the Almighty that
give
you have the Ashmeister in there. You could have had Ellis Short. He is available now, I gather. There we are.
He's not a football manager.
No, but he's an owner who obviously sort of put a lot into getting Sunderland down from the Premiership to the First Division. So well done. That's marvellous. Nice bit of symmetry there.
I think he wrote off all the debts of Sunderland, you know.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, no, Sunderland Football Club. He couldn't write off the debts of Sunderland.
OK, let's move on to more important things, because one of the things Jesse was charged with last week was Eurovision. And I don't know, Ian, if you saw Eurovision, but Israel won.
No, I didn't see Israel.
So you won't have heard.
I've avoided it for 60 years.
You won't have heard. The
last song I saw was when Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson won it.
Right.
It was in the 50s, I think it was.
It was, actually, yes. So just before the European Common Market sort of started. Anyway, Jess, what should Ian prepare? Because this is the time when we actually give Ian a chance to actually cast his critical ear over a tune which is relatively contemporary, or maybe it's a new artist.
I
got
the contents of chickens, is that right?
Yeah. Sort of.
My word, I got chills there, Ian.
I thought it was a stereo as well.
Moment, exactly.
I could have won it.
Yes. Good.
Jessica, a self-confessed Eurovision song fan, Jesse, would you like to actually explain what you thought when Netta actually won? Was it a winner? I mean, we talked about it last week as being a possible winner. Or were you surprised? Did you think, I preferred the person who actually had the interruption with respect to the British entry?
I do not think it was a winner at all. I think it was possibly one of the worst songs of the night.
Well, that's why it won.
Yeah, exactly. It's typical Eurovision.
Not good of a win, so I'm sick.
But what really annoyed me was the music industry expert's vote was a completely different type of song. So it was this man called Caesar Sampson who wrote a song that was actually really, really good and could have charted. And then as soon as it was the public vote, for some reason, Israel got the highest public vote and they got about 300 extra points because of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Caesar Sampson's song as well. So, you know, you could actually take a decision here and actually say you want to go with Caesar Sampson as opposed to Netta. And obviously, Ian's already basically summed up the whole system. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm just quite delighted that it means that Donald Trump can hopefully sort of sing praise to the new capital of Israel, Jerusalem, next year, which is going to be very... It proves, you know, Eurovision at the heart of geopolitics.
He'll have won the Nobel Peace Prize by then, won't he? Unless war breaks out.
Christian's just sitting with his arms folded, sort of thinking, what strange things they're talking about, Eurovision, etc. Jess, would you... I'll throw the weight of responsibility on yourself for Ian's choice, because he wouldn't have heard either. Do you want to offer him Netta and Toy, or Nobody But You and Caesar Sampson?
Which is the shortest?
I think advert Caesar Sampson. I don't think it's as offensive, if I'm honest.
They're both 3 minutes, 2 seconds long. I mean, that's the thing about Eurovision. They're just three-minute wonders, exactly. So here it comes, Caesar Sampson.
Lord, I'm going to get so hot tonight. I'm going to let the floodgates open wide. I'm in open waters. This is what I need. Don't try to get you off of my mind. And I get no sleep. I'm in too deep. I can't let you leave. It wouldn't be right letting you go. Running away from love. Ain't nobody but you I can hold on to. So am I. Ain't nobody but you. Ain't nobody. I can hold on to. Ain't nobody.
back tonight. Yeah. Oh, you're running circles around my mind. Uh-huh. After your words have been my Bible, how could I search for someone new? Ooh. While I really want you by my side. And I get no sleep. I'm in too deep. Tear my heart out. Ooh. I'm shaking till I fall down. Ooh. Don't make me tear my heart out. Ooh. Don't make me tear my heart out. Ooh. I'm shaking till I fall down. Ooh. Don't make me tear my heart out. Wouldn't be right letting you go running away. Ain't nobody but you I can hold on to. So am I rocking my arm, making you stay tonight? Ain't nobody but you I can hold on to.
Which country do you think that was representing then, Ian Lennox?
I don't know.
No, Austria, obviously. You know, clearly, it has to be Austria. Yeah, Austria. Birth of... I won't even go there in terms of famous Austrians that have actually been because they get upset. And particularly the Second World War, which they get particularly upset about. So that's a way to actually get concerned with Austrians. What did you make of it anyway?
Well, it's probably better than a football team.
I don't know how to take that. I mean, you know, the country that gave the world Hans Krankl, amongst others. I really, better than the football team. And Jess, you would say that's one of the better ones?
Yeah, I would say it was one of the better ones.
Honestly?
Yeah, really. Mm. I know.
Honestly.
It's a shocker, isn't it?
This year was rubbish.
Bash.
And that's saying something.
And Christian, your first experience of a Eurovision entry from Austria, has that sort of switched the whole thing? Will you be rushing out to get the album now?
It's all right, yeah.
It's taking you way for to play with you on that side of things. Okay, let's move on to something we'll talk about in the second hour of the programme, but I'd be fascinated to find out what you make of this one, Ian. The release today of the top 20 British dance songs. Have you got any suggestions in terms of what songs might be actually in there, allowing for the fact that over two-thirds of British folk have agreed that couples that listen to music together are more likely to stay together because the music played out loud definitely has benefits?
Alex, you're talking to a chap on the dance floor and got kicked out of the nightclub for fighting.
That's why I felt you needed to actually sort of contribute to this particular slot. So, yeah, allowing for that, what, for instance, do you think most British folk have actually chosen as their favourite dance song at weddings?
Come to the Garden, Maud.
No, you're being facetious now. I mean, that's an Edwardian classic, which obviously is not a dance song, etc. And it's appropriate, inappropriate. And I'm going to hand it over to Jess. What do you think the number one choice is for British couples as their favourite first dance song at weddings?
Don't really know, to be honest. I mean, my mum and dad had a real weird one. They let their best mate pick it. So they had Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi as their first dance.
Right.
But I think, like, it's probably going to be something like Adele, isn't it?
No. Christian?
I don't know. The last wedding I went to, they had Oasis on. So that was their first dance song. So
no Oasis, Oasis yeah. In the list at all, actually.
Unless it's Go Your Own Way, something like that. It's a joke, but who knows?
Very good.
Chris?
Well, somewhere in the region of Celine Dion or someone like
that? Male.
Kristen Schaut?
No. All right, shall I give you the opening line?
Birdie song.
No. Oh. Wise men say.
Oh,
Elvis.
Exactly. Elvis Presley. Can't Help Falling in Love.
Oh, that's sickening.
Is the official number one choice for the most popular song that people would choose at weddings from that particular perspective.
Actually, I can imagine a lot of his songs being nice to dance to. Mm.
You had nothing but a hound dog. That's a good one.
I know, Ian, you're very keen, and so are Ollie and Obo, to find out what Meghan Markle is reportedly going for in terms of her particular choice for Saturday. Any thoughts what Meghan will be accessing? It is a classic after its own sort of way.
Something with the word lucky in it?
Not lucky, but dance with. As in, yeah, dance with, as in Whitney Houston. I want to dance with somebody.
You're kidding.
That is her. That's the reporter. Really, that's her happy song. Whitney Houston's "I Want to Dance with Somebody Who Loves Me."
But that's tinged with sadness, though, isn't it? The whole thing, the whole Whitney thing, is it's blighted. It's tainted.
Exactly. But that reportedly is Meghan Markle's choice. We'll talk more about that later. From that point,
well, you can't buy breeding, can you? So,
again, the views of some of our contributors on Siren Radio cannot necessarily be set to reflect the views of the station or indeed the line from that perspective. We just have to work on it.
Poor old dad getting a hard time. He's having stents fitted in. They're giving him a hard time because he's not going to the wedding, for goodness sake. You know, that's not fair.
That's the media for you. That is the media for you.
The cup final.
Oh, the Scottish and the FA,
Chelsea, Manchester United, video message from Prince William because he is the chairman of the FA, and, of course, a wedding as well. It's awesome. And Deadpool 2, which is amazing.
Awesome. What a day.
So, in the next part of the programme, Shane Rimmer will be talking about all sorts of other marvellous things. But quickly, Ian, how are Ian and Obo, how are Ollie and Obo, your two cats?
In rude health.
Good to hear that. That's good, excellent stuff. Chris, would you like to put those last two questions to Ian, please?
What last two questions?
All right, please take it over, Jesse. What are the last two questions?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I've enjoyed most of it, yes.
Nice.
Well, the song's gone the way, didn't it?
But there's 3 minutes and 1 second that you didn't enjoy.
And the next one.
Will you be coming back on with us again at some other point in town?
I will.
There we are. It's all good. It's Ian Rex. Song. Yeah, we are. We'll fix you.
Wings.
When you try your best but you don't succeed. When you get what you want but not what you need. When you feel so tired but you can't sleep. Stuck in reverse. And the tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone to waste. Could it be worse? Lights will